Chapter 14. $57.16. That's all Abby and I could scrounge up, and 51 bucks of it was hers. I would have had more if I hadn't bought new skateboard trucks the first week of vacation. "You think it's gonna buy enough?" Abby asked on the way to the store. "It'll have to," I said. I didn't know the exact size of the Coral Queen's holding tank, but I guessed it carried a couple hundred gallons of waste. I also didn't know how much dye we could get for $57.16. Abby led me to the aisle where the food coloring was displayed. "Blue won't work, right?"
"No, that wouldn't show up," I agree,
scanning the shelves.
"What do they use this stuff for, anyways?"
"Frostings, desserts, all kinds of goodies."
"Do they make an orange?"
"No, but here's fuchsia," Abby said.
"What?" That's how it's pronounced, Noah. Fuchsia."
I had no idea what fuchsia was, but it sounded like something you wouldn't want to step in.
"It's a hot reddish purple," Abby explained. "Perfect for Operation Royal Flush."
That was the code name for our secret mission to nail Dusty Muleman. We decided to use food coloring gel instead of laundry dye because the gel wasn't made with chemicals that would harm the sea life. Even better, it wasn't highly concentrated, which meant that a small amount would dye a lot of poopy water. The plastic bottles were little, though, holding only an ounce. There was only one container of fuchsia on the shelf, so we asked a stock boy to go find more.
"How many do you want?" he asked.
"Bring us all you've got," I said. When we got to the cash register, the checkout lady gave us the skunk eye as she tallied up the total.
"What in the world," she said, arching an eyebrow, "would you kids be doing with 34 bottles of food coloring?"
Abby smiled sweetly.
We're baking a birthday cake," she said.
"Oh, is that right? A very big birthday cake," my sister added.
"And a very purple one, I see," the checkout lady said, handing us the bag of bottles.
On the way home, I kept looking behind us to see if we were followed by the old pirate geezer. I couldn't stop wondering who he was and how he knew us. Abby said he was probably a gnarly old mate from one of the sport fishing boats, or maybe a bridge person who'd seen us around the island and overheard us calling each other by name. Whoever he was, I kept my eyes peeled. As we turned the corner of our street, someone called out to us. It was Bull, of all people, standing in front of the house. He waved as we rode up, though Abby and I were too suspicious to wave back.
I hopped off my bike and asked, "What's up?"
Bull seemed edgy and uncomfortable. I could see Abby's teeth marks on his left ear, which was still puffy and crinkled. He cleared his throat about 5 times before he finally spoke.
"I just came over to say I was sorry," he said. "Real sorry."
I set the grocery bag full of dye bottles on the sidewalk. My sister stood behind me and said, "Is this some kind of sick joke?"
"No way," Bull shook his head forcefully. "I'm righteously sorry for everything, dude."
He was looking straight at me.
"All the times me and Jasper hassled you, it was wrong, okay? Bogus and wrong."
"What's going on, Bull?"
"Nothing. Why you ask me that?"
"Because all of a sudden you're Mr. Huggy Bear? It's very weird."
"Come on, Underwood. Can a dude say he's sorry and be real? What's the problem?"
Bull was getting frustrated, and I didn't want to push him too far.
"Okay, we're cool," I said. "You say you're sorry, I believe you."
"Excellent."
"Well, I don't believe you," Abby cut in. "Either you're faking it or you've had a total personality transplant."
Bull's long, dull face pinched in confusion.
"What do you mean by that? What kind of transplant, you say?"
"Never mind," I said. "What about Jasper Jr.?"
"Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. He's sorry, too."
"Really? Then where is he? Bull hitched his shoulders. Dark half moons of sweat appeared in the armpits of his faded Harley Davidson t-shirt.
He couldn't come, but he wanted me to tell you it won't never happen again, Bull said. We won't beat on you no more.
That's nice. Next you'll be sending me flowers. Naturally, Bull didn't catch on that I was being sarcastic.
I'd really like to hear Jasper Jr.'s apology in person, I said.
Fat chance, mumbled my sister. She picked up the grocery bag and lugged it inside the house. Bull just stood there, sweating through his shirt and staring down at his enormous bare feet. It sounds strange, but I felt sort of sorry for the guy. He'd quit school and left the Keys to be a big baseball star, but here he was, back on the rock, bagging groceries and hanging out with losers like Jasper Jr.
Come on, man, tell the truth, I said,
though it wasn't in Bull's nature. He looked up slowly.
Underwood, who's the freaky old man, the guy in the woods?
Just a friend, I said, thinking. A friend and total stranger.
Where'd he get that wicked bad scar on his face?
He doesn't talk about it, I said, hoping that Bull would think I was tight with the pirate guy.
Thing is, Bull said, he told me and Jasper Jr. to... Well,
what?
He told us to tell you we were sorry for what we done to you and your little sister. He was real clear on that, Bull said. But when it come time, Jasper just flat wouldn't do it. He said he didn't care what some crazy old bush rat told him.
What else did the old man in the woods say? I asked. Bull turned and checked over his shoulder, his eyes moving up and down the street. He said not to screw up again. He said he'll be hanging close and don't never forget it. Bull's visit finally made sense. He'd come to apologize because he was terrified not to.
You'll tell him, won't you, Underwood? Tell him I stopped over and said I was sorry? When you see him again, I mean.
Sure, Bull. When I see him again. Though I wondered if I ever would. After lunch, my sister and I headed for Shelley's place to deliver the food dye and review our plan. Even though she came to the door wearing the nappy pink robe and carrying a plastic razor, we could tell that she was in better shape than the day before. She waved us inside and cheerfully resumed shaving her legs at the kitchen sink, a procedure I'd never witnessed so up close and personal. The way Shelley did it wasn't quite as glamorous as in the TV commercials. Whenever she nicked herself, she'd cuss like a biker and wipe away the blood with her pinky. Abby watched in fascination, but I felt kind of weird. So I turned away and pretended to be enchanted by the scummy aquarium. I could hear the razor blade scraping across Shelley's skin as she said, "So, we're good to go?"
What about Billy Babcock? I asked.
Don't worry, I got that all figured out. But I was worried. If Billy was at the Coast Guard station when the sewage spill was reported, he'd tip off Dusty Muehlman right away. It wouldn't take long for Dusty's crew to unhitch the Coral Queen and take her offshore, where they could flush the holding tank until there was no trace of our dye, and no way to connect Dusty to the crime. Ever since he heard Lice was gone, Billy's been spending lots of time at my bar, Shelley said, leaving $10 tips on $10 tabs.
Did he ask you out? Abby said.
Only about 2 or 3 times a night. Shelley tossed the plastic razor into a trash bag, poured herself a cup of coffee, and sat down at the dinette. I'll handle Billy Babcock, she said with a confident smile. Now let me see what you got. Abby gave her the grocery bag containing the bottles of coloring gel. Shelley peeked inside and said,
Those are puny little suckers. Sure that'll do the job?
Well, it's concentrated, I started to explain.
I know it's concentrated, Noah. I've baked a few treats in my time.
Abby told her that we'd bought out the store. 34 bottles. Is that okay?
No problem, Shelley said. I've got a purse big enough to carry a Honda Civic. She held up one of the bottles. Ever used this stuff before?
Abby and I shook our heads. Well, it doesn't pour out like water. It's more gooey, like sunblock, so you've really got to squeeze, Shelley said, demonstrating on a capped container. 34 bottles. That's going to take some time.
I hadn't thought about that when we picked out the gel. Neither had Abby.
See, it's just me working solo behind the bar, said Shelley, and Dusty doesn't like his customers to go thirsty.
I only get 2 15-minute potty breaks every night, which ain't nearly enough time to flush all this stuff.
Does that mean you can't help us? I asked.
Now don't get your shorts in a knot, she said. I'll tell Dusty I got sick off the shrimp salad. What's he gonna do? Make me go in a bucket?
Isn't there a head near the bar? I asked. Abby poked me.
A what? A toilet, I explained. On ships, they're called heads.
Shelley told us that the Coral Queen had 3 sets. 1 fore, 1 aft, and 1 up in the wheelhouse, which is out of the question. It's only for the casino manager and the crew.
But aren't you part of the crew? Abby said.
No, sweetie, I'm a bartender. They make me tinkle with the civilians. The more I heard, the more worried I got. The longer that Shelley was away from the bar, the greater the risk that Dusty or one of his goons would go searching for her. Other things could go wrong, too. What if the toilet she was using malfunctioned or got clogged? I decided on a slight change of plan.
You'll need some backup on board, I said.
I'll take half the dye and flush it from a different head.
Shelley tossed her head. Oh, no, you don't, James Bond Jr. It's too hairy. Just find me a place to hide. There's got to be somewhere safe.
Hello, what about me? Abby interjected.
Together, Shelley and I turned around and said, No way.
You don't bring me along. I'll rat you out to Dad and Mom, my sister declared. I swear to God, Noah.
She wasn't joking either. The veins in her scrawny neck were popping out, so she was ticked off. She was so ticked off.
You couldn't do this without me, she said. If it wasn't for my 51 bucks, you wouldn't have enough dye to color a bird bath.
I couldn't argue with that.
This is getting way too complicated, Shelley said, slurping at her coffee.
Look, we're only going to get one chance at Dusty, I said, so we better do it right.
Shelley shot me a doubtful look. If you two brats get caught...
We won't, Abby cut in.
But if you do, we'll never mention your name, I said. That's a promise.
Double promise, said Abby.
Shelley sighed. I must be out of my mind.
It was almost 5:30 when Mr. Shine dropped off my parents at the house. They'd spent the afternoon at the courthouse, working out the final settlement of the Coral Queen case. Dusty Mealman had agreed not to prosecute my father for scuttling the casino boat, and in exchange, Dad had promised to pay back Dusty's insurance company for the cost of refloating the thing, cleaning it up, and fixing the diesels. The bill must have been super expensive because the judge gave my father 5 whole years to pay it off. He also made Dad swear not to say anything bad about Dusty on TV, in the newspapers, or anywhere in public.
So much for the First Amendment, my father griped as we sat down to dinner. Might as well walk around with a cork in my mouth.
The important thing is, it's over, Mom said. Now maybe our lives can get back to normal. I didn't dare look at Abby for fear of clueing my mother that we were up to something. Dad was too bummed out to notice.
Everybody in the county thinks I'm crazy anyway, he said sourly.
Who cares what everybody thinks, I said.
And who cares if you're crazy, Abby piped up. As long as it's a good crazy.
She meant that as a compliment, and my father seemed to take it that way. It's unholy what Dusty is doing. A crime against nature, Dad went on. Know what he deserves? He deserves to be... Pain, that's enough, my mother said sternly. Someday he'll get exactly what he deserves. What goes around comes around. Dad snorted. If only. Mom's right, Abby said. Dusty can't get away with this stuff forever. My sister played it perfectly straight. She's a slick little actress. Someday they're going to bust him cold. Don't worry, she said. Dad looked at her fondly and said, Let's hope you're right. But we could tell he didn't believe that Dusty Muehlman would ever be caught. My mother said, Noah, we need you to stay home with Abby tomorrow night. What for? I tried to sound annoyed, but I was really excited. This was the golden chance that my sister and I needed. Your dad and I are going out for dinner and a movie, Mom said. Woohoo! A hot date, teased Abby. We're celebrating your father's new job. Oh, yeah, Dad said dryly. My exciting new career, towing numbskull tourists off the Bonefish Flats. Well, doesn't it beat driving a cab? I asked. True enough, he admitted. I want you both in bed by 11, not a minute later, Mom told us. You hear me? Absolutely, I said. Double absolutely, said Abby. 11 sharp. Neither of us could look Mom in the eye. It felt lousy lying to her, but honestly, we had no choice. If we hoped to catch Dusty Muehlman red-handed, or fuchsia-handed, to be exact.